In a black star-sprinkled sky, we soar backward over Earth. Massive block letters of gold and silver orbit into view. The continents show the speckled, electrified glow of hundreds of cities. The Earth eclipses the sun, and a massive word hovers front and center. Universal, a Comcast company.
Hazy circles of light overlap. Their colors and sizes vary. Words appear. Focus Features, a Comcast company. The O in focus is blurred. Focus Features presents an MXN Lollipop Woods production. In black and white silhouette animation, a young man awakens in bed. He sits up and sighs. In a framed childhood photo, his parents disappear. The young man eats alone at a dining table. Catherine Newton, Cole Sprouse, Liza Soberano. He reads as he walks down a street. Henry Eikenberry, Joe Crest, and Carla Gugino. At a party, he plays piano. A young woman blows him a kiss. He takes the young woman's hand. Casting by Nancy Nair. Music by Isabella Summers. At a park, he puts a flower in the woman's hair. Costume designer, Megan McLaughlin Luster. At a party, they sit together at the piano. The young woman turns her attention to a man playing guitar, and hearts appear. The young man picks up a book and walks alone. Editor, Brad Turner. Production designer, Mark Worthington. The young man strolls into the park and sits at a bench by a tree. A gust of wind sends a nearby couple flying. Director of photography, Paula Wiedebro, AMC. A streak of green lightning appears. Executive producer, Jeffrey Lampert. A bust of the young man sits atop a tombstone bearing the word, unmarried. Produced by Mason Novick and Diablo Cody. Dirt fills in a grave. Written by Diablo Cody. The young woman places a flower on his grave. Directed by Zelda Williams. A sign on an archway reads, Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. The animation ends and the archway comes to life, looking unkempt. A curly-haired teen girl kneels at the young man's tombstone. She wears a red dress and a red bow in her hair. She presses a piece of paper against the tombstone and runs black wax over it. A moving view closes in on her. Her gravestone rubbing reads, Frankenstein. Using red lipstick, she writes Lisa in cursive above the name. She draws a heart over the eye, then rips the paper off the tombstone. A title appears over black, Lisa Frankenstein. In a pink bathroom, makeup products clutter the counter. Lisa, the curly-haired teen, picks up a hair crimper and clamps it on a section of her hair. She wraps some hair around her fingers, then looks over. She lowers the crimper and releases her hair. Now, she backcombs her hair. She shuts her eyes and uses hairspray. She applies blush, then sulks. A dark-haired teen walks in.
Hey.
Hey, Daddy.
I don't think that blush is your shade, Lisa.
She gives Taffy a look. Taffy fixes up her own hair. Lisa looks down.
Probably just stay home.
No! This is the first critical rager of the year. It's compulsory.
And you know what your doctor said? You need socialization.
Lisa rolls her eyes. Taffy turns to her.
Why don't you use my tanning bed?
Oh, no.
When I won Junior Miss Hawaiian Tropic, I promised I'd use my title to help other people. And that includes sharing the grand prize with those in need.
Taffy turns Lisa's face, and they both look in the mirror.
You're in need, babe.
She smiles, then walks out of the bathroom. Outside, Lisa opens a garage door, then steps inside toward a tanning bed. Sporting a plaid tank top and colorful striped shorts, she awkwardly slides inside the tanning bed. She lies back and slowly shuts the lid. Electricity sparkles, and the bed loses power.
I'm really sorry you got electrocuted, Lisa.
I'm fine.
In Taffy's car.
Let's wrap. How are you liking Brookview so far?
It's fine. It's the same as my old school.
Are you hot for anyone?
Lisa glances down.
Come on. Lisa.
Taffy smiles. Lisa looks hesitant.
Lisa! Lisa, 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 Lisa.
Michael Trent.
I don't know what that is.
He's the editor-in-chief of The Grapple. The Lit Mag. High school literary magazine.
Taffy shrugs.
Does he lunch on or off campus?
Off.
BK or White Castle?
Neither.
Does he have more of a basketball bod or a football bod?
He doesn't play sports. He's cerebral.
He's in a wheelchair.
Lisa's smile fades.
No.
Taffy stares at Lisa with a confused expression, then turns to the road.
This party's going to be clutch. There's going to be two kegs, a Wapatui, and Eric Chen stole a nitrous tank from his dad's dental practice.
Isn't it just off Bluff Road?
Uh-huh.
We could have walked.
Too far. I'm wearing jellies. These things will turn your feet into hamburger helper.
But there's a shortcut through the forest through Bachelor's Grove.
The haunted cemetery?
It's not haunted. It's just abandoned. Desecrated.
Well, I heard the Heshers do witchcraft over there. And I also heard that Gina Marzak dedicated her unborn child to Satan. And that's why the baby has to wear a helmet now.
I've never seen anybody there. I think it's really peaceful and quiet.
Lisa reads at the cemetery.
I do wax rubbings of all the tombstones. I have a favorite.
In the car.
You have a favorite one?
Yeah. A young man. I tend his grave and leave him flowers and I talk to him sometimes. I brought this for you.
In a flashback.
It was my mom's.
She hangs a rosary on the bust.
It's kind of morbid when I wear it, so I wanted you to have it. Keep you safe, okay?
In the present.
That's really weird, Lisa.
I just don't think anyone should be forgotten.
Taffy stares at Lisa. She drives down a dimly lit road. The girls get out of the car outside a house decorated with lights. Teens hang out in the yard. Taffy waves to her friends.
I brought the food.
Yes, you did.
Look great.
Lisa stays by the car.
Hey, you fixed your bangs. You know, I wasn't gonna say anything. They were such a mess, but you look amazing now.
I'm telling you, we're taking it to state this year, man. And I'll put money on it.
Possum pride, baby. Woo woo. Yes, sir.
Lisa strolls past teen boys.
Oh my God, Steve, bag your face.
She awkwardly approaches a cooler and opens the lid. A teen in a leather jacket and a t-shirt bearing a Nietzsche quote stands behind her.
You're looking to fade out the ethanol's inside.
What?
The booze. It's in the house.
Yeah, I think that my stepsister brought most of it.
She turns to him.
Lisa swallows. Michael. Trent.
Michael smiles.
Well, we're both currently being educated in the same walls of asbestos. Plus, you've submitted some really strong poems to The Grapple. I'm the editor.
Oh, you are? Right.
This stuff's really good. Like, pitch black, but really good. Reminds me of Plath or Anne Sexton.
You like my poems?
I wouldn't publish them if I didn't.
Taffy eyes Lisa.
So what exactly happened to her?
A blonde teen faces Taffy.
I've heard stuff.
I can never ever talk about it, Lori, for personal and legal reasons, and I also pinky swore. But I guess I can tell you. I trust you. You're my cheer sister.
Of course.
Okay, so, like 2 years ago, Lisa was home alone with her mom. And this psycho broke in.
A flashback plays.
With, like, an axe and everything. Anyway, her mom told her to run and hide, and so she did. And then the guy axe murdered her mom. And she heard the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
She called 911, but the guy escaped. They never caught him. And by the time she came out, it was too late.
Now, three teen girls listen to Taffy.
Wow. I'd be screwed up if I were her, too.
Yeah.
She didn't talk for a few months after that. Kind of just wandered around like a zombie.
What about her dad? Is he okay?
Oh yeah, Dell. He's a big sweetie. My mom met him 6 months after the murder, and they got engaged and married real quick. Which is great, you know? Because Dell didn't have to be sad for too long, and Lisa had a new mom right away.
Aww. That's so cute.
They turned to a fourth team.
Yeah, everything worked out nice.
With Lisa.
So, like,
hey, I found the keg.
Oh, thank you.
It's Clydesdale Pits.
Hey, Tamara.
You know.
Hi, sorry, how do we know each other?
Just a couple classes. This year?
This semester.
Bless.
Anyway. Do you want a sip?
I'll take one.
No, right, why would I assume that she parties?
All right, I'll take one.
Tamara rolls her eyes and hands Lisa the cup. Lisa brings the cup to her lips and drinks. She puffs out her cheeks and furrows her brow. She hands back the cup and walks away.
Oh. What?
Michael sips from the cup, then spits.
What is this?
No, I'm not even sure. I got it off Derek.
Come on.
What?
Poor girl just went from Pepsi Free to PCP.
Taffy runs to Lisa.
Hey, Lisa, you okay?
I saw you talking to those dark fighters.
Lisa's vision blurs.
Did they give you something?
She nods.
This is not what I expected from you. You have so much potential, Lisa.
Taffy eyes Michael and Tamara.
Hey, you!
She marches to them. Lisa stumbles around.
Just say no. Look at before beer, babe.
Right.
A girl grabs Lisa.
I'm psychic. Also, I think it's gonna rain.
Lisa turns to the green, cloudy sky as lightning flashes. She stumbles inside the house. She grabs onto the back of a couch and slowly slides to the floor. A short teen approaches.
Hey, Lisa.
He kneels down.
You okay?
She touches his face.
Oh.
Yeah.
His eyes briefly become larger. She pokes his nose.
It's me. It's Doug. Your lab partner? Okay, let's find somewhere for you to sit for a bit, yeah?
She reaches out a hand and he takes it. He helps her to her feet.
Here we go.
She leans on his shoulder while they walk.
Oh, I hate parties like this. I don't even know why I came. Personally, I'd rather catch a flick or something than watch a bunch of cheerleaders get blasted.
Teens carry a moose head.
That's for cows.
In a hallway.
Who's your favorite director of all time?
Psst.
Pat. You're just reading my beer can.
No. He was a real director.
He leans her against a wall.
What kind of movies did he direct?
Silence. Okay, I'll be quiet.
From Lisa's perspective, a framed painting of sea monsters comes to life. Doug pulls her into an empty room, and she kneels over a trash can. He holds her hair while she vomits.
Your hair feels like Easter grass. How much cans of white rain you got in there, kid?
Doug gags.
Kiddo.
She crawls away from the trash can.
It smells like ham in here.
She takes a seat on a bed and Doug sits beside her. She squints and touches her forehead. Doug holds out a napkin. She takes it and smiles.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. Looks like the angels are bowling.
My mom used to say that.
Lisa closes her eyes and smiles. She opens her eyes.
Does that feel good?
She looks down and finds Doug's hand on her breast. He puts her hand on his crotch.
When you can't stop what you started, it's the rules.
She eyes him, then pulls away.
Come on, Lisa, just for a minute.
You know it's not nice to lead people on, Lisa.
She stumbles into the hallway and bumps her head on a doorframe. A red light blows overhead as she stumbles. She wanders into the living room, passing by trees covered in vine and a graveyard statue. She nearly falls, then keeps walking. She searches around in confusion as she finds herself in the wilderness. She looks to the sky with wide eyes. A low view shows the cloudy green sky. She scans the area around her while approaching the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. She looks up and smiles as she passes through the archway. Lightning flashes and Lisa startles.
It's you.
She walks up to the young man's tombstone. She reaches up and touches the bust's cheek.
Oh, I wish I was with you.
She gently caresses the bust. Cut to black. Lisa enters her dark house. Lightning flashes in the cemetery. Lisa walks into her bathroom. She stares at her reflection as lightning flashes. She breaks the mirror. She stares at the broken glass. Clouds hover over the cemetery. Lisa lies in her bed and stares at the ceiling. An overhead view moves in on her makeup-smeared face. She shuts her eyes. Now, in black and white, she opens her eyes. Sparkling jewels dot her face, and she sports a beehive hairdo. She looks around. She finds herself in a ball gown with a fitted bodice and bow at the waist. Her large skirt bears the Pabst Blue Ribbon logo. Birds flutter on a chandelier above her bed. Lisa slowly sits up and glances back at a photo of her mother, which comes to life.
Wash your hands, kiddo.
A doll with buttons for eyes turns to Lisa. A cat sits on a nightstand beside a phonograph, which plays a record. Lisa hangs her feet over the side of the bed. A widening view reveals the young man seated beside her with his stone bust in place of his head. He stiffly turns to her. She meets his gaze. He opens his hand to reveal a pack of bubble gum in his palm. Lisa places her hand over the pack of gum and they squeeze hands around it. Melted gum oozes from their hands to the floor. They both lean forward. A person wearing a Bride of Frankenstein mask slides out from under the bed. Projected on a wall, the silent film A Trip to the Moon plays. They lean against each other and watch. Daytime. In color, Taffy stands over Lisa.
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 Hey, my mom's having a cow about the bathroom. You should probably get up. Come on now.
She pulls off the comforter to find Lisa's hand in her shorts. Lisa quickly removes it.
That's fine. Everyone does it.
Oh, my God.
So, what happened last night?
Oh. Oof.
Your knees.
Lisa checks her scraped knees.
I fell.
Sure, babe. Me too.
Taffy winks.
Lisa! Get down here now!
You should probably get going.
Taffy walks out of the room and Lisa drops her head onto her pillow.
Oh.
Lisa walks downstairs and trudges into the living room. Her dad and Taffy sit on the couch. Lisa's stepmom sprays a can into the air, then turns around.
Lisa, did you smash the mirror in the bathroom?
Her dad looks up.
Last night, I told you.
Your dad wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt, but I knew. I always know. I'm an IP.
Taffy mocks her.
Intuitive person. Took a whole seminar about it.
Janet.
There was a damn tornado last night. Hail damage on the sedan, yard full of debris, and now I guess I gotta clean up the bathroom, too.
It was a tornado watch, Mom, not a real tornado.
Well, now, it was quite a storm, though, Taff. You see that ball lightning? Big green ball in the sky? Never saw anything like that.
Dale, you need to stop munching the grape nuts and be a father right now. Your daughter has a taste for vandalism. She has been deliberately destroying property. First, it was my precious moments cake stand.
That was an accident. Mom, be nice.
I am being nice, but I will not coddle her.
Lisa rolls her eyes.
No one coddled me when my dad blew up in Da Nang. And that is why I am the way I am today.
That's a good point.
Thank you, honey.
Janet puts the spray can down and sits beside Dale.
Lisa, do you know what happens to people who act out? They wind up in the loony bin.
You're a psych nurse, Mom. Should you be saying loony bin?
Zip it, Tim.
All right, Lisa, you're going to go upstairs and you're going to clean up that bathroom.
Tapping Dale's knee, Janet nods.
And pay for the mirror.
Yeah, I'll pick up an extra shift at Wayne's.
How about an apology?
Lisa stares at her stepmom.
I'm sorry, Janet.
Wait a second.
Dale turns up the volume on the TV.
What is this?
Thanks, Laura. I'm here on the scene at the former site of the Bachelor's Grove Cemetery in Bremer Park, where a neglected monument was recently struck by lightning, reigniting neighborhood concerns about fire safety.
In a dry cleaner shop, Lisa wears a magnifying visor and looks at a needle. Michael enters holding his leather jacket.
Oh. Hey.
Hello.
She looks through the glasses, then lifts them away from her face.
I feel like I want to apologize for what may have happened last night. I had no idea that cup was spiked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was good. I got high.
So you're an experienced psychonaut.
She smiles.
You know, like an astronaut of the psyche type thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm the Sally Ride of drugs.
Can I help you, young man?
Yes, sir. Just spilt a little something on the inside here.
Wayne sniffs the jacket's lining.
Red wine?
Wine punch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, I'm glad you're okay.
Lisa smiles, then looks down.
Do you two know each other from school? I didn't know Lisa had any friends. I can always count on her to work on Saturdays because she can't get a date. Yeah, it's probably because she's so flat-chested.
Hey, can I get it out?
Well, I'll do my best, sweetheart, but I'm a technician. Not a magician.
Thank you.
That's a shame.
Tamara eyes Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa ignores her.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's really good seeing you.
Hi. Lisa.
Tamara curtsies, then holds up her middle finger. Lisa grabs Michael's jacket, smells it, and holds it close. Nighttime. At Lisa's home, her family sits at the dinner table.
And that's why Mr. Conyers has to teach her the door open now.
Riot, Jeff.
Hey, Lise. We're going to the late show of Look Who's Talking. Want to come?
Oh, is there pizza left?
Yeah, I think we got a slice here.
Dale reveals a slice covered in meat.
Looks like it's got a little meat on it.
Well, she can pick it off.
I said we should get you a Veggie Lovers, but I guess she had some coupon thing.
Free orange crush.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna skip the movie.
Huh?
No, what? Lisa. Please.
Taffy stands.
We all have to spend more time together as a family. How can we Brady if we don't bunch? Right, Dad?
That's right.
Dale pats Lisa's arm.
I'm just really tired from work. How tiring can it be to sit hunched over a sewing machine like an old lady? Taff just had a 3-hour cheer practice.
Mom.
They have her doing the splits on the top of the damn pyramid. Do you know how hard that is on the groin muscles?
It doesn't even hurt anymore.
Well, because you put in the work. All those hours screaming with your legs spread against the wall.
Heck yeah. You should be proud, Taff.
Well, I'm sure Lisa's fingers hurt from all that sewing.
Eventually a callus just forms.
Lisa looks down.
Don't I know it?
In the living room, Lisa eats a snack and watches a horror movie. She sets down the bowl and grows startled. She slowly faces forward. She skulks toward the foyer and picks up the phone handset. A creature bursts through a window. She drops the phone. It stumbles inside. Lisa turns and runs toward the dining room. Covered in dirt and vines, the figure ambles toward her. The creature chases Lisa around a table. She grabs porcelain figurines off a shelf and throws them at the creature. She frantically crawls up the stairs as the creature follows her. She runs to her bedroom, hesitates, then rushes to the window. She opens the window. Lisa carefully crawls backwards on the roof. She hangs onto the edge of the roof. A woman power walks down the street without noticing Lisa. The creature exits the front door. It looks up and notices her dangling legs. It waddles underneath her. Her arms slip and she falls on top of the creature. They lie face to face. Green liquid shoots from the creature into her face.
You hear that?
Two neighbors sit on lawn chairs and read. Lisa evades the creature as the neighbors talk.
I'm sure it's the girl next door. She's very odd.
The cheerleader.
No, not Taffy. She's adorable. What a figure. It's the other girl.
They continue reading. Lisa runs back inside the house. She shuts the door behind her. She grabs a golf club.
I'm calling 911!
She puts the phone to her ear, then flashes a look of confusion. In the living room, the creature sits holding a sneaker attached to telephone wire. A closer view reveals a ghoulish face no longer covered in mud. Lisa holds the club over her head, ready to strike. Holding the shoe, he looks up at her with a calm expression. She steps closer, lowering the golf club. She sits on the floor.
That's my dad's shoe phone. He got it for free with a subscription to Sports Illustrated.
The young man lifts one of her fuzzy animal slippers and offers it to her. It falls out of his hand. She looks disarmed.
Do you like this song?
He glances at the record player.
Do you like any other music? I have the cure.
He lifts his other arm, revealing a missing hand.
No. It's not that kind of cure. It's like it's a band. They can't make you better. I mean, they can, but emotionally.
He lowers his arm.
Come on, we gotta hide you.
Lisa leads him into her room. He hobbles in.
This is my room. We're better off up here in case anybody comes home. Definitely no one can see you.
He walks into an exercise bike. Lisa observes him and smiles. The young man points to the wax rubbing of the gravestone on her wall.
What?
He puts his hand on his chest, then points to the gravestone rubbing. He pulls out a chain of beads from his pocket.
My mom's rosary. Oh my God.
She takes the rosary from him.
You're him? Why are you here?
He slowly raises her hand to his lips. Lisa cringes and pulls her hand away.
Okay, I get it. When I said I wished I was with you, I didn't mean that. I meant I wished I was in the ground, dead, because life sucks and people are jerk-offs. I didn't mean that I wanted to be with you, in person.
Green liquid spills from his eyes.
I'm sorry. No, no, no. Don't cry.
Don't cry. Your tears. The smell is so bad. No.
She gestures to the bathroom. He limps toward it. Lisa pinches her nose and enters. She closes a door leading to Taffy's room. She sprays perfume into the air.
Okay. So here's some soap. Oh, no. That's a douchebag. Just don't.
He drops it.
You're gonna need that.
He takes the soap and smells it.
I don't know why I'm talking so much. I haven't said this many words in a row in forever. After my mom died, I got diagnosed with traumatic mutism. That's where you don't talk at all. Are you going to talk? Copy that. Would you like me to turn on the shower radio?
She nods.
This is Taffy Station. It's for beer sluts.
I'm gonna turn on the college station. It's for people like us. With feelings.
She gestures for him to step in the shower. He stumbles in.
Careful.
Okay. Hot. Cold. This? Water.
She points at the shower nozzle.
Future.
She closes the floral shower curtain on him. He hesitates, then turns on the water. Blobs of dirt and a worm spill towards the shower drain. More dirty water fills the tub. The young man steps out of the bathroom in a flowered robe.
Okay, Sparky, we gotta get you some new duds.
Lisa pushes him into her closet and closes the door. She fans her nose. He emerges in a baseball jersey. She gives him a puzzled look. He pops out in a cowboy shirt.
Send it back. Oh.
She pushes him back in. He falls out of the closet in a colorful button-down shirt. She rolls him back in. He comes out in a silky pink feather-lined robe.
No?
He glares at her.
Just give it a chance.
She wears the pink robe. He pops out in a bright pink jumpsuit.
Wait.
She hands him a small stack of clothing. He wears a gray blazer and a band t-shirt.
Let me see. We can work on this, bud, you know?
She ties cloth around his arm stump, then touches his hair.
Looks cool.
In the bathroom, a close view shows the young man's gray, decaying face. Lisa combs his hair over his missing ear. He raises his arm stump, then points to the missing ear.
Oh. Oh, I can't do anything about that. I'm not a doctor. But it's okay. They're just things that make you different. You know, there's this really attractive guy on Days of Our Lives who has to wear an eye patch. He's a very popular character, and his patch doesn't define him.
He turns to her.
What's his name? Patch.
They both look away in thought.
His name is Patch.
Lisa runs out, then returns.
Get in my closet!
Downstairs.
It's okay, everyone. I'm okay. I'm fine. It's okay. I'm good.
Honey.
There's no babies.
Janet, we...
Oh, belly boy.
Janet picks up her figurines.
Little chubby.
Christ.
There was a home invasion. The burglar ransacked the china cabinets, but I fought him off. How am I going to serve some booze?
Wait a second. A burglar?
He had a mask, a black mask, and this hat. He had this wide-brimmed hat and a striped jumpsuit.
That sounds like the Hamburglar.
No. Lisa, that does sound like the exact description of the Hamburglar.
Janet hits Dale on the arm.
Dale? Oh. Do you see what's going on here?
Dale shrugs.
Lisa's hungry.
Lisa got a lot of attention. when the tragedy happened. So now she's, well, recreating the scene of the crime. She has been ransacking our precious home little by little. The cake stand, the bathroom last night, and now this.
The young man listens from upstairs.
She knew how it would affect you, Dale.
Dale shares a look with Lisa.
She needs help. Residential treatment. She needs to go somewhere. For a while.
Mom, we can't just send off Lisa to the snake pit. She can barely survive PE.
Daddy, I'm not crazy.
Nobody said that.
Oh, my mom actually just did.
No, Taff. She would never say that.
Well,
I hate to say it, Lisa, but you're either crazy or you're just goddamned inconsiderate. Oh, her neck.
I can glue that.
Lisa walks into her dark room and closes the door. She plops onto her bed and gives a look of despair. The young man cracks the closet door open and peeks out. She rolls onto her side and stares off. The young man gazes at her through the open closet door. With a frown, he closes himself back in. On the closet door, a poster of the moon from A Trip to the Moon glows bright. Fade to black. The alarm clock reads 7:04. Lisa turns it off. Yawning, she opens her closet. The young man holds up a black lacy dress.
I have to get dressed.
He offers the dress.
That's Taffy's. She gave it to me because she said she got too many compliments in it. It's not really my style. I'm not a skeezer.
Hey!
He throws the dress on her head and closes the doors.
Can I at least have a jacket?
He tosses her a jacket. He places a black straw flower hat on her head. In the school hallway, a poster reads, Possum Pride. Lisa struts in the black lacy dress and flower hat. She brushes her hair away with her hands. Taffy stands with her friends. They look at Lisa with surprised expressions. She glances down, then gathers herself, swings her jacket over her shoulder, and strides away.
Oh, Lisa looks good.
She could probably even do pageants if she had congeniality.
At home, Janet wipes a side table with a sponge glove. She wears headphones and downs a martini.
Why must I feel so strongly? Others seem crude and insensitive.
The young man stands on the stairs and watches her.
Emotional vampires seek out intuitive.
She holds out a sheet, then folds it. He stands behind her.
They can be our magic and our sensitivity. They won't be satisfied.
She holds lingerie to her body and looks off in thought. She turns her head with a furrowed brow.
How can we avoid these people from wishing?
She walks out of view. The young man watches her go. He turns and faces the living room. He enters the living room and waddles to the white grand piano.
Unfortunately, highly empathetic people are...
He waves out his jacket tails and sits at the piano.
Recognize them.
Janet moves the laundry basket and sits at the dining table. She starts to eat cottage cheese and peaches. She pauses and removes a headphone from one ear.
Feel very special. Don't fall into this trap.
She puts it back in place. The young man plays piano.
Their goal is to exploit your kindness and drag you down to their level before they move on.
She gets up to answer the front door.
Can I help you?
Carpet shampoo, ma'am.
Carpet shampoo?
Yes, ma'am.
You can eat off my carpet.
We're doing an offer.
Excuse me?
She steps outside. The young man stumbles to the dining room. He checks behind him, then leans over Janet's bowl.
I
He gags and releases an object from his mouth into the bowl. He hobbles out of the dining room as Janet returns.
Between you and the knife guy. Jesus, H.
She sits down at the table. She scoops some cottage cheese into her mouth. She closes her eyes as she chews. Janet furrows her brow. She slowly pulls a wriggling worm out of her mouth. The young man heads upstairs. At school, by the lockers, Lisa bends over to grab books from her bag. Michael stops in his tracks to talk to her.
Hey. Did you happen to take any notes in White's class today? I cut.
Oh, yeah, I was going to cut too because I hate White's class. But I think I took like some notes.
Wow.
He reads her notebook.
You sure you're not on the payroll?
No, you have to have like a stupid face to teach her. You have to be really ugly with a stupid face.
You're kind of absurd, aren't you?
Hi. Chaffee gets in between them.
Hey. It's me. I need to talk to my sister. I'm very protective of her. She's a newest transfer student, and I want her to make friends with the right people. No punks, trenchies, or deaf clowns.
Lisa nudges her.
Chaffee.
Oscar Wilde said to define is the limit.
Okay. Well, Oscar the Grouch said, scram.
I'll see you later.
He walks away.
I really don't get your fixation with that one. There are plenty of halfway decent guys that would date you. Like, not a basketball player per se, but certainly the team manager. Or maybe even a cute guy with bad skin. Thanks. I'm going out tonight after practice. Will you cover for me?
Isn't your mom at that, like, Milwaukee conference thing?
Yeah, but what about Daddy? You know how overprotective he is. Taffy, where are you going? Taffy, what time are you going to be back? He's obsessed.
He is? Well, I think he works late Mondays anyway, so you don't have to worry.
Well, if he asks, tell him I'm at Lori's, please.
Sure.
Thanks.
I think he really likes me.
In Lisa's bedroom.
Are guys so simple that you just have to put on a pirate skeezer dress and suddenly they want to talk to you?
Wow. Well, thanks, I guess. How will I ever repay you?
The young man lifts his arm stump. He points to his missing ear.
Well, I can't just get you new parts. I mean, you're a dead man. Not a Chrysler LeBaron.
Oh, I want to help you. I really do, but I don't know how. Besides, Taffy says it's a waste of time to try and fix a boy. It's better just accept a guy's flaws.
He flails in frustration.
Hey! Don't kirk out on me, man!
Lisa?
Damn it! Janet!
He runs into the closet. Janet enters in her nursing uniform with an intense look.
Hello, Janet. I thought you were going to Milwaukee.
Don't you Milwaukee me.
I skipped the conference because I'm ill. And do you know why I'm ill? Aunt Flo? No. Because a little psycho whore put worms on my diet plate.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I should have gone to the doctor, but I had to go take care of others. Like I've been doing for 20 years. Because I am a nurse and an angel. I even opened my glorious home to an ungrateful little bitch.
Oh, I didn't want to move here.
You wanted to stay in the house where your mom was butchered like a hog? Oh, that's disturbing, Lisa.
I mean, I didn't want to go to a new school my senior year. I didn't want to leave the town that I lived in my whole life.
So ungrateful. You were lucky to get out of there. I'm sure people were talking. Or maybe you liked being a hot topic. Maybe it was the first time anyone ever looked at you.
Shut up!
Janet slaps her.
That's it. You should know that today, I talked to the head of the juvenile program at Serenity Manor, and you are being admitted.
Please, no.
Oh, yes. For your own good,
and my safety. Inpatient. Lockdown. Special socks. Where a disturbed person like you belongs.
The young man knocks Janet in the head with a sewing machine. She collapses onto the floor. She twitches slightly as a pool of blood forms around her head. Lisa looks at him in shock. The young man straightens up and drops the sewing machine. He kneels at Janet's body and readies a pair of scissors. He starts cutting near Janet's head. Lisa watches him with disgust as he works. He lifts up Janet's bloody, detached ear.
Why?
He hugs her while holding the ear. She looks down towards Janet's body. He steps back. The young man holds up the ear pleadingly towards her.
Oh, no, I can't. I can't do that. Not until we bury the body.
Lisa leans in close to the young man. They gaze at Janet's body. Janet's red sneakers drag across the bright pink carpet. Nighttime. In the cemetery, the young man tilts a wagon. With a blanket wrapped around it, Janet's body slides down inside a grave. The young man shoves the wagon away. He and Lisa look down at the grave.
Is it peaceful down there?
He turns to her and shakes his head. Lisa kicks dirt into the hole, turns and walks away. He follows after her. In Lisa's room, decorative red string lights hang above her bed. The young man rests his head in her lap as she sews Janet's ear to his head. A diamond stud glimmers on the ear. She breaks the thread with her teeth. The young man sits up.
Can you hear anything?
He shakes his head.
No reception. Dead meat.
Lisa looks thoughtful.
Well, maybe it could just be for looks. Like my cousin Carlene, she got a boob job. She can't fail anything, but she still got a husband. The rest of you used to be dead, too.
He flips off the top of a permanent marker. He takes Lisa's hand and draws a small lightning bolt on it. They share a look. She smiles at him.
Oh, my God.
In the garage, Lisa checks herself out in a mirror while the tanning bed sparks. She turns to the tanning bed as it opens and releases white smoke. Lisa stands over the bed where the young man lies. She taps him awake. Now with whiter skin, he bangs his head on the tanning bed while sitting up. He sits with his legs hanging over the side of the bed. She sits beside him and removes his goggles. She talks into his new ear.
Hello? You hear me?
In the morning, Lisa chugs from a bottle. She finds Taffy and Dale eating in the dining room.
Fresh.
Good morning.
Is that sherry?
She stops drinking.
No. It's Lisa.
Taffy raises her brow, then glances at Dale.
Did she just make a joke?
Wasn't very good.
Dale reads a newspaper.
Is that my new half shirt from Contrampo?
You said sisters share.
You were right. I did. You look deadly. Half the school is headed to Boner Town, and they don't even know it yet. Right, Daddy?
They have no idea.
Don't tell Mom I said this, but it's actually kind of nice not having her in town.
Actually, I miss her.
Dale turns to Lisa.
You do?
She's been such a nurturing presence in my life, and I'm just so glad that you chose someone who's good for both of us.
Taffy touches her cheek.
Oh my gosh. This isn't waterproof. Okay, guys, let's vamonos a la escuela.
Lisa looks at Taffy.
What happened to your neck?
Taffy pulls her hair over a mark on her neck.
Crimper accident.
She walks away from Lisa.
But you had practice yesterday.
I did. You never heat style before a practice.
Are you the crimper police? Are you from Con Air PD?
No, it's just that your hair's not even crimped.
Well, you know that my hair is too healthy and too silky to hold a crimp.
Right.
It's like my main flaw.
Yeah.
Bye, Daddy.
Okay. Be careful.
Lisa follows Taffy outside. Dale stays at the table reading his newspaper. Lisa climbs into the passenger seat of Taffy's car. At school, she opens her locker. She grabs a piece of paper and a pen, then applies red lipstick. She writes a note, then kisses the top corner. An excerpt reads, "Meet me at Papoose Lake at 4 p.m., yes or no?" She slides the note into a locker. In class, she applies whiteout to her thumbnail while her teacher hands out papers. Michael taps his pen in the row in front of her, then turns back to her and smiles. She smiles back. As he looks at his paper, she watches him adoringly. She pulls the note from her locker and finds the word yes circled. She clutches the letter to her chest and smiles, then slides on her sunglasses. At Papoose Lake, a moving view approaches her from behind while she sits on a bench and leans back.
Hey!
She turns and smiles.
I'm so glad that you came.
She walks through the woods with Doug, then pulls her hand away from his.
You don't want to hold my hand?
Oh, I will. But first I want to take you somewhere that's very meaningful to me.
I don't think I ever heard you talk this much. It's weird.
I suppose I never thought I had much to contribute, but I feel much more extroverted lately. I want to participate in the school community.
Later, she waits at the cemetery archway while he catches up to her.
I didn't know we were going for a hike.
He points at the sign.
Why are we at Bachelor's?
Oh, have you been here before?
Mm-hmm. Once, in the seventh grade, on a dare. Mm-hmm. This whole place gives me the creeps, okay? It's not Christian, okay, for a graveyard to be left like this.
It's not Christian.
Lisa enters the cemetery. She glances back at him, then continues walking. Doug nervously checks over his shoulder, then walks under the archway. They stop at a grave.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. I want you to touch me exactly the way you touched me at the party.
Oh, I knew you wanted it. All right, so, I had a bunch of beers, you know, which is probably why I was so good at it, because I was relaxed. But I think it might have been...
The young man reaches from under a pile of leaves and pulls Doug down. The young man rises to his feet with an axe in his hand. Lisa turns Doug's head, then knees him in the face. He falls back and Lisa holds his wrist to the ground. The young man chops off Doug's hand. The young man gives her a look.
What? I thought that was a really cool thing to say.
Doug runs. The young man throws the axe and it strikes Doug. Doug falls to the ground with the axe in his head. In her bedroom, Lisa feeds thread through a needle while the young man watches.
This is gonna be tough.
With her glasses on the tip of her nose, she holds Doug's hand to the young man's wrist and pokes the needle through his skin.
Ooh.
She pulls the thread through. She continues to sew the hand to the young man's arm.
He glances from her to his hand. In the garage, she playfully wipes a dab of sunscreen on the young man's nose while he sits on the tanning bed. She slides the goggles over his eyes. She smiles as he lies back on the bed. She turns the knob from ultra-low to ultra-high, then watches as the glowing lid lowers. She steps back as sparks fly. The lid slowly opens and she smiles proudly. The young man, now with a healthier skin tone, sits up. He raises both his hands and stares at the new one in awe. Wiggles his fingers. With dark circles around his eyes, he glances at Lisa and smiles. She smiles back. He takes her hand and they step outside. He offers his hand again and she shakes her head. He grabs her hand and pulls her into his arms. They start dancing. A bug falls from the young man to the ground. They dance clumsily around the yard, then the young man picks Lisa up and spins her. He sets her down. He stares at her, then holds up a finger.
What? Where are we going?
He leads her to the piano inside.
Okay. What? What are you doing?
He gestures at the piano, then to himself.
Oh, you're a musician. Okay.
He pulls out the piano bench and takes a seat. He quickly looks at his hands and clenches his fists. He touches his chest, glances at the ceiling, then places his fingers over the piano keys. Lisa's jaw drops and she covers her mouth. The young man turns to Lisa.
Was that like Mozart or something?
He gestures to himself.
You had a whole life.
He points to her.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I do. I guess so.
She stares off, and he points to sheet music.
Oh, no. That's Dad's. He hasn't played since my mom died.
She glances at him, then at the sheet music.
You can try it. Yeah.
The young man slides over, and Lisa sits on the bench beside him. He starts to play. Lisa smiles.
I can't fight this feeling any longer. And yet I'm still afraid to let it flow. What started out as friendship has grown stronger. I only wish I had the strength to let it show.
She stands and gestures as she sings.
And even as I wonder,
briefly headbangs.
And I can't fight this feeling anymore. I've forgotten what I started fighting for. And if to bring this ship into the shore, come crashing to your door. Baby, I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Lisa shuts her eyes and brings her hands to her chest. She smiles wistfully. She opens her eyes and her smile falls.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Are you crying?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. God damn it. When you cry, it smells like a hot toilet in a carnival.
She presses a pillow to the young man's face.
Oh, Jesus.
She throws it on the floor.
What's wrong? What? Hey. Don't feel bad about what we did. Janet was going to put me in a psych ward.
She turns his face toward hers. She brushes hair from his face.
You saved me. Doug. We just wanted his hand. And now look what you can do with it. That hand was going to do terrible things. And now it's a conduit for the talent of REO Speedwagon.
The young man looks pensive.
Look, I gotta go change my pad, and you gotta get upstairs for the night, because they're gonna be home soon, so.
She dances out of the room. The young man takes a deep breath. He holds his face still.
So I think we'll call that one finished.
Later, Lisa eats popcorn and watches TV with her dad. Taffy runs in.
I finally got my standing back, Tuck. It was a little off the cheese mat, but still, Coach said, it counts.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Thanks, Daddy. Oh, wait, I gotta go tell Mom.
Taffy, wait. Doesn't she get back tomorrow? Just tell her then.
Lisa, this is a big D. Mom said that if I got my back, Tuck, she'd finally give me her diamond studs.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it is. What's the number for the hotel again?
Yeah, it's in there on the fridge. Aunt Taff, holler before you get off. I want to talk to Mom, too.
Sure thing. Me, too.
I want to talk to her, too.
Okay.
When you get her on the phone.
Back tuck.
I think I'm going to go up to my room. I got a really big pop quiz tomorrow.
I thought a pop quiz was a surprise.
Oh, that's illegal now. Because a kid, he had a heart attack. And died.
Lisa hands her father the popcorn.
Oh, whoa. Lisa, what is up with your nails?
Blood stains her white fingernails.
Whiteout? Is that a rad new trend or something?
Lisa stares at her nails and smiles. She nods.
Yeah. All the kids are doing it, you know.
She gives two thumbs up, then runs out. Dale shakes his head and faces the TV. Lisa walks into her room and opens the closet. The young man sits on the floor and holds up a doll. He waves its hand.
That Starlight Rosebud, hella good girl, gonna need a big bank.
But I just call her Niblet's Corn. I don't play with dolls anymore.
She tosses it back at him. He looks around the closet. He holds out a recorder flute.
Oh, sixth grade. I was in band for a month. And I got like a weird mouth fungus. It hurt.
Disgusted, he drops it and pulls out a wand massager. She points to the tip and waves her hand.
Don't touch it. That's like a... It's like a back massager.
She gestures with it, then drops it.
Lisa?
She shuts the closet and stands in front of it.
Lise, I just called my mom's hotel, and they're saying that she never checked in.
The closet door rattles.
Anyway, there's no one there by her name. I tried using her new last name, her old last name, her old last name. Then I called 411 and tried calling the other Radisson in Milwaukee. I called all the Radissons in Milwaukee.
You did a lot of calling.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's some explanation.
Taffy looks off in thought.
What if she's been kidnapped?
What if the kidnappers drugged her?
Taffy nearly steps on blood.
And then forced her to call home and say she was okay. Just as they would do in every unsolved mystery episode.
No, Taffy, no. It's okay.
Lisa hugs her away from the blood.
Let's not jump to conclusions.
Lisa, you know I'm usually pretty cool about things, right?
Yeah.
I'm a loose goose. I'm Laffy Taffy. But I have a bad feeling about this. I'm an IP. Intuitive person.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my mom.
No.
I know when something's wrong.
Janet, we'll be home tomorrow. Everything will be fine.
Lisa, you have no idea how scary this is. You don't have to worry about anything because your mom's already been murdered.
Huh? You have a point there.
I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
Oh my God. I have to go tell Dad.
Taffy steps out. Lisa shuts the door and wears a tense look.
Shit.
Lisa and the young man sit on her bed wearing modest sleepwear. He uses the massager on her back.
Oh, thank you. That's helping.
Mm-hmm.
My Aunt Shelley gave it to me for Christmas. She said it might improve my personality.
Looking thoughtful, she turns to face him with her legs crossed. He puts the massager down.
You want me to do you?
He furrows his brow and shakes his head. She nods.
Do you feel anything in your body?
He shrugs and nods slightly. She looks away and scratches her face.
Must be kind of uncomfortable sleeping in the closet.
She stares at him and smiles. Downstairs, Dale talks on the phone while Taffy paces.
Yes, she left Monday at approximately 4 p.m. Hair, kind of multicolored.
No, it's more like, you know, like a Labrador when you see it at the park and the sun just hits it just right and you can see its chocolatey brown coat and it has like highlights of like red. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. So, right. Brown.
We're running out of time. They're going to find Janet. I'm feeling very tense, like a lot of stress, tension.
Lisa and the young man lie in bed. He uses the massager on her back.
Her eye color.
Downstairs, Taffy takes the phone.
She has hazel eyes, but she wears green contact lenses to enhance them, and she has a manicure, French manicure, square.
You know,
in Lisa's room.
People don't always put that on their back. Sometimes they use it other places.
She has a cross pendant, and she's wearing Elizabeth Taylor White Diamonds perfume. Yeah. Yeah. She's a bitch.
Dale takes the phone.
I can, like, try it if you want.
Lisa lies on her back and readies herself, smiling.
She's just an unselfish person, but I always say, better safe than sorry, right? Okie doke. Yeah, you too.
Dale hangs up the phone.
Oh, my God!
He looks up. A light flickers.
What if she's dead?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Taff.
I once called a psychic hotline, and the lady who answered, she was an actual Jamaican, told me that my mother and I share a heart. And I actually feel like something's wrong.
Well, let's not assume the worst. She's probably off in some bar having a dirty banana. And you know what song she's plugging into that jukebox.
Cocoa.
Come on. That's right.
Dale hugs Taffy in Lisa's room.
After my mom died, everyone was in such a hurry to go back to normal. And they kept acting like I had a problem because I couldn't stop missing her. Started to feel like I was going crazy. I thought that was going to last forever, but it didn't, you know. And pretty soon everybody seemed like they were almost excited to move on and forget about her.
They both drink from tall glasses.
They kept saying, "Time heals all wounds." But that's a lie. Time is the wound.
takes you further and further from that place when you were happy. Makes those good smells go away.
She makes a swooping gesture and kisses her finger. She gazes out in thought.
People are so afraid of death. Because they don't know when it's going to happen to them. It could be an axe murderer, it could be the flu, but they don't know, and they hate that, so. I'm not afraid of death anymore. Mm-mm. But I don't want to die a virgin.
The young man nearly chokes.
Did you?
He looks away from her.
Oh, come on, you're not going to tell me? Excuse me. I tell you everything.
He hesitates, then reluctantly holds up a finger.
One. Wow. Just once. That's crazy. Did you love her?
He nods wistfully.
I want that. I want to do it with someone I truly love.
He turns to her.
Mike. Michael Trent.
He looks away.
Oh my God, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I mean, we don't know what's gonna happen. We killed two people. I could get the clink for life or the electric chair. God, that's like a tanning bed, but for criminals. I'm just gonna do it tomorrow. I'm just gonna offer my body to him. Taffy says that you have to show guys you love them instead of telling them. And I think it's a pretty good idea. What do you think?
He nods, frowning.
I know you'd think so. You're so supportive. Well, I love our conversations. Yeah. Good night.
She settles herself under the covers. He moves his legs aside, then turns off the lamp on the nightstand. Daytime. Lisa wears black sunglasses and a black dress. She steps into the passenger seat of Taffy's car. Taffy eyes her outfit.
That's my costume for Miss Tri-State Teen Halloween.
Lisa shoots her a look.
Okay, if I wear it?
Yeah. Why would I care?
Taffy looks out the window sadly and shakes her head.
I'm sorry, Lisa. I don't mean to be rude. I just didn't get much sleep last night.
Lisa clenches her jaw and looks down.
Any news about your mom?
Lisa avoids eye contact.
Nope. But that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It means nothing bad happened.
Taffy forces a smile. She cries and lays her head on the steering wheel. Lisa pats her back and grimaces as she looks away.
How about I drive since you're not feeling so good? Okay?
They switch places. They sit on pink cow-patterned seat covers. Lisa turns up the volume on the radio.
Boobs look great, by the way.
She turns to Taffy and smiles. At school, they head up the stairwell and spot two police officers walking down the hall. Lisa lowers her sunglasses and hides behind Taffy, who looks confused.
Did something happen?
I don't know.
Taffy's friends run up and embrace her.
Have you heard anything? Did they find her?
No. What's going on?
Kid might have been murdered. Doug Morans.
Lisa backs up.
Who's that?
I don't know. I think he's a junior.
None of us know him. He's a not pictured. But I guess he didn't come home last night. They've got a search party out. Jordan Mix told me. His dad's a detective.
Oh. Taffy cries.
This is just too freaking much. I have PMS and everything. Oh. I need to go home and veg. Please, I'm going to cut, okay? Please have Daddy call the office. I'm sure they'll be okay with it. Oh, crap. Can one of you guys bring Lisa home at the end of the day?
They look around awkwardly.
Oh, it's fine. I'll walk, Taff.
They look relieved.
You're sure?
Lisa rushes towards Taffy and gives her a strong hug. She turns swiftly and hurries down the hall. Taffy cries and waves to her friends.
Bye.
Lisa sits in a classroom.
Sosnowski?
Present.
Tepper?
Here.
Trent? Trent? Michael Trent?
Lisa Swallows, come to the office, please. Lisa Swallows, to the principal's office.
Dress code violation.
Lisa whips off her sunglasses, chews her gum, and gives a haughty look.
Slut penalty.
She takes the gum out of her mouth and pushes it into the teen's binder. In the office, a bespectacled woman sits with two cops and Tamara.
Take a seat, Miss Wallace. As you may have heard, it's been a difficult day. A student is missing. We were wondering if you knew of anything about the disappearance of Doug Moranz. We know he was a friend of yours.
He was just my lab partner.
Well, this young lady here says that you had plans to meet up with Doug after school yesterday.
Can you tell us what you saw again?
Yeah, I have the locker right next to Doug's, so when I went to get something that I forgot, I saw her slip a note into his locker. It said that Lisa wanted Doug to meet her at Papoose after school.
And did he meet you there?
No. He stood me up.
Well, that's funny, because we have multiple witnesses saying they saw a young man, the description of Doug, at Papoose Lake.
One witness said he saw a girl with your description.
There's lots of girls who look like me.
Specifically mentioning someone with a funny walk. Thick ankles.
They look at her ankles.
What?
At Lisa's home.
Hey, Janet, are you home? Suki from down the street just came into work and said she saw your car over on Glenview Terrace. Maybe we can squeeze in a little Kokomo before the girls get home.
The young man listens. At school.
You should check her purse. I bet it's chock full of drugs. Are you kidding me right now? She's off her rocker. She needs help.
You know, there's a rumor that she killed her own mother.
What?
So I was...
Yes,
all right.
The young man walks past an elderly man and a boy.
Pull harder. What are you, a little fruitcake, huh? Oh, hell no. What the hell? Hey! Hey, you!
The elderly man walks after him.
I'm not making any more comments. You can talk to my lawyer.
Lisa walks past Tamara, who makes a face.
Really hope this goth phase ends soon.
The young man removes the steering wheel lock.
What are you doing there, huh? This is my neighborhood, and you don't need to be here. So carry your ass on out, or me and you gonna go after it right here.
The young man turns to face him. Lisa rushes into the hallway. The young man drives off and waves to the boy. The elderly man lies on the ground in his underwear. Lisa exits the school in a rage.
God.
She flails her arms.
Damn it, that good for nothing, Susie! Bitch!
The young man drives slowly. A driver flashes their lights, then passes him. The young man glances at the other car with wide eyes. Lisa marches down the street with her hands on her hips. The young man pulls up in the stolen car. Lisa steps backwards and leans down to peer at the young man.
What are you doing?
He stares at her. She walks behind the car and gets into the passenger seat.
Shit is transpiring, man. You have to take me to Michael's.
He starts driving.
He cut fourth period. When he cuts, he either goes to Rocky Rococo's or he goes home and his car was not at Rocky Rococo's.
She picks up the steering wheel lock.
Why is this club bloody? Did you beat someone with the club? It's not that kind of club, man. It's an anti-theft device.
She slides her sunglasses onto the tip of her nose.
Turn right on Hawthorne. Right here.
She peers out the window as they come to a stop outside a single-story home.
What are you doing?
He turns to her with a furrowed brow, and she removes her sunglasses.
You don't think I should do it?
He stares at her.
It's 1989. People have sex out of wedlock all the time these days. Plus, I have a contraceptive sponge in my purse. It's enormous.
He briefly raises his brow.
It's your fault we're screwed. You killed Janet. It wasn't my idea. Okay, going after Doug was my idea, but only because killing Janet felt really good, and I was just an accomplice. But now you're out of control. You're beating people up, driving around in plain sight. There's probably an APB out on this vehicle. You don't even know what that is. You probably drove one of those stupid old-fashioned bicycles with the one big wheel.
He turns away and shifts his eyes.
You did. Take me, Michaels.
He glares at her, then turns on the car. He drives away from the home.
It's not a horse and carriage, for God's sake.
Later.
There it is. It's the Red Brick Colonial. I've driven past here so many times. He's home. Okay.
Lisa adjusts her hair and checks her makeup in the rearview mirror. She glances at the young man.
You know...
She puts on her sunglasses.
You act like you're happy for me and you care about me, but you're not really happy for me. We're gonna talk about this after. Stay in the car. Don't let anyone see you.
Lisa swings her purse onto her shoulder, adjusts her skirt, then fluffs her hair as she walks quickly across Michael's lawn. The young man sits still in the car, then spots Taffy's car parked across the street. Lisa enters the house. She sets her purse on the floor, then approaches the staircase. With her arms outstretched, she heads upstairs. She steps toward a bedroom with its door left slightly open. Her smile falls. She spots Michael and Taffy in bed together.
You're just so cute, sweet, pure. I'm so dark and screwed up.
Lisa drops the sponge. Flashbacks play.
I'm sorry. Oscar Wilde said that Define is the limit.
Are you the crimper police?
Taffy covers her hickey.
Are you from Con Air PD?
In the present, Lisa watches as Michael and Taffy lean in to kiss. She bursts in.
Oh, my God, Lisa! Sister Cher, huh? You have everything! You couldn't let me have this one thing! You knew I liked him, and you went after him on purpose!
Not on purpose. I swear I would never do that to you. It's just... guys usually only want me for one thing.
Yeah, and you just gave it out like a cheese cube from Hickory Farms.
He made me feel like I was more than just a stupid cheerleader.
You can't blame her, kiddo. It just was never gonna work out between us. I don't have feelings for you like that. I'm sorry.
Why? Because I'm not sweet and simple like her? It's not enough polarity for you, Werner Heisenberg. You like cool movies and music and stuff, but only for you. You want to be the smart one who likes cool stuff, and you don't want your girlfriend to like cool stuff. Do you know how uncool that is?
You're not making any sense.
The young man walks in.
Oh, my gosh. What's going on?
Dude.
He turns up the music, then steps toward the bed with the axe in his hand.
Whoa.
In slow motion, he grabs the comforter and pulls it off Michael. Lisa grabs his shoulder and screams, but he pulls himself free. Taffy clutches the corner of the comforter and screams. The young man swings the axe down on Michael's lower body. The blood slowly splatters onto Lisa and Taffy's faces. Michael wears an anguished expression. The shadow of a penis and testicles flies through the air. They land in the trash bin. Taffy screams as the young man raises the axe again. She holds out a pillow, and the young man strikes it.
Stop it! God, don't hurt her! What is wrong with you?
Lisa turns to Taffy. The young man picks up the trash bin and marches out of the room. Lisa watches him go, then runs to Taffy. She helps Taffy walk out the front door.
It's okay. Right foot, left foot. Hold my hand.
The young man drives away.
I know where he's going. No, stay.
Lisa puts Taffy in the passenger seat of her car.
Hands up. Okay.
Lisa drives down a street.
It's okay.
She pats Taffy, who cowers in fear, then looks around.
There he is.
She pulls over beside the stolen car at the edge of the woods.
Hey. No, I wanted...
Taffy cowers in fear. Lisa looks her up and down with a forlorn expression. Lisa shrugs. She grabs her mother's rosary.
Thank you for being nice to me when no one else was. I did notice. It's just that your mom was so heinous that I'd already decided that you were too. You're the type of person who usually bullies me or looks right through me. But you didn't.
She holds up the rosary.
You actually went out of your way to try to tell people I was part of your family. You really actually wanted me to be your sister.
She moves the rosary toward Taffy, who cowers. Lisa slides the rosary over Taffy's head.
You are, you know? You are my sister. You're a great person, Taffy. And I'm sorry. I hurt you.
Lisa bites her lip.
I love you.
She gets out of the car. Taffy frantically unbuckles her seatbelt and reaches for the door handle. Lisa finds the bloody axe resting on the front bumper of the stolen car. She examines it and looks to the sky. She grips the handle and faces the woods with a determined expression. She marches into the woods while Taffy climbs out of the car and stumbles in the opposite direction. Lisa runs through the woods with the axe in her hand. She runs down a tree-lined path. While running, she grows emotional. She reaches the cemetery and finds the young man standing over his grave. She lifts the axe into the air. She drops it, and he turns. She runs to him, and he takes her in his arms. He cradles her neck with his hand. She weakly touches his chest.
You love me. You love me.
He smiles and nods. Taffy stumbles toward the road. A man drives by, spots her blood-covered face, then keeps driving. She continues walking. In the cemetery.
Listen, we're running out of time. You loved me.
He looks down.
What? Why not? Why not?
The young man takes her hand and presses it to his crotch. Her eyes go wide and she grabs tighter. He steps back.
Why didn't you tell me? Well, that's okay. You don't need one of those to be a man. It's actually like the least important part, really. We can do other things and it's fine.
He puts something in her hand.
Oh, Michael's. Oh. You cut it off for me?
A policewoman approaches.
Oh my God. Hey, this is an act of crime scene. You guys can't be here.
The young man approaches her. She tries to get away and he picks her up. He carries her to an open grave and drops her in. He spins to face Lisa. He takes her hand and pulls her away. In her bedroom, she kneels in front of his crotch as she sews. The young man stares off. He glances down to her.
Yet I'm still afraid to let it flow. Started out as
a movie view closes in on his face as he continues to look away. He furrows his brow and glances down as Lisa pulls a thread. He quickly looks up and Lisa stands with a pin in her mouth. She shrugs and smiles. She skips as she walks out of the garage holding the young man's hand. In her bedroom, she wears a nightgown as the young man kisses her hand. Now bearing no dark circles around his eyes, he slides a gummy ring onto her ring finger. They lock eyes and he smiles. He guides her to her feet, then picks her up and cradles her in his arms. In the dimly lit room, he slowly carries her to the bed as she stares into his eyes. He carefully lays her down, then climbs on top of her. The string of red lights above her bed illuminate their faces.
And I can't fight this feeling anymore.
They stare into each other's eyes. He leans in and gently kisses her eye. He kisses her forehead, then her other eye.
It's time to bring the ship into the
shore. He looks down as an insect falls onto her chest. He picks it up and tosses it aside.
And I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Lisa smiles. She rolls the young man onto his back and straddles him. She brushes some hair back, then looks back down at him. She begins to untie her nightgown, and he unbuttons his shirt. She slides the nightgown off her shoulders. She looks into his eyes, and he smiles lovingly. She smiles and leans down. In silhouette-style animation, Lisa and the young man ride a rocket ship through space, then crash into the eye of the moon from A Trip to the Moon. They take hands and walk up the moon's surface. The moon smiles. The animation ends at the garage doorway.
There's no other way.
The young man looks down.
No. Don't cry.
They kiss each other's hands. She gazes into his eyes.
I was ever afraid of you.
She leans toward him.
Life has been such a whirlwind since I saw you.
They both turn toward the noise.
Quick!
She pushes him into the garage, then shuts the door. She runs to the tanning bed and opens the lid. She takes a seat on the bed and looks up at him. He crouches at her level and stares into her eyes. She touches his shoulder. She reaches under her hair and pulls out a folded piece of paper to hand to him. She kisses her thumb, then touches it to his lips. She lies back on the bed. He gazes at her with sadness.
Make sure you send it to Max Bronze.
He smiles softly and nods. He leans over and kisses her deeply, cradling her cheek in his hand. He pulls away and strokes her cheek with his thumb. He stands as she shuts her eyes and takes a deep breath. He slowly closes the lid and turns the dial all the way to Max Bronze. He turns it a little further. He opens a folding lawn chair and takes a seat facing the tanning bed. The dial sparks. In the tanning bed, Lisa shuts her eyes with a calm expression. The lights grow brighter. The tanning bed sparks and shakes. The young man watches and holds back tears as the tanning bed catches fire. The flames ripple in front of his face. He reaches into his pocket and unfolds the note. Signed with a lightning bolt, it reads, "Death is temporary. I'll love you forever." An ambulance sits parked on the street outside. A crowd of people in their pajamas gathers by Lisa's house. The orange glow of the fire illuminates their faces.
You know,
what
Two boys stare up at the house. Dale runs over with a concerned expression.
Bitchin'.
A fire truck pulls up. Surrounded by darkness, a circle forms around our view of the house and closes in on the burning garage. A gravestone in a cemetery reads Lisa Swallows. Dale and Taffy stand at the grave with flowers.
Who left all those flowers? Does, like, a groundskeeper do that?
No, not that I know of. Maybe a friend?
Taffy eyes Dale.
Unfortunately, it's probably some sicko. A lot of people fascinated with our family.
Dale gazes around the cemetery. Taffy looks to a bouquet in her hand, then places it on Lisa's grave. She spots something in the grave, and her face tenses. She slowly stands.
What is it?
Nothing.
Taffy stares at the grave.
We came.
Dale waves with a bouquet.
Hello, Lisa.
He waves to the sky.
Okay, let's go visit your mom.
Yeah.
And then? Bud Rucker's.
Dale smiles at Taffy. She softly smiles back and nods. Dale walks away, and Taffy glances back to the grave. She walks away with a furrowed brow. A roving view drifts to the gravestone. On the bottom corner, chiseled words read, Beloved Wife. At Papoose Lake, the young man sits on the bench and reads.
Oh, Mary dear, that you were here, with your brown eyes bright and clear, and your sweet voice, like a bird singing love to its lone mate in the ivy bower disconsolate, voice the sweetest ever heard, and your brow more than the sky.
Bandages cover Lisa's body, except for her pale face. She peacefully rests her head on his lap.
I am not well whilst thou art far, as sunset to the spherid moon, as twilight to the western star. Thou, beloved, art
the young man holds her bandaged hand and wears a gold ring on his ring finger.
That you were here. Castle echo whisper. Here.
Lisa opens her eyes. Cut to black. Credits roll. Unit production manager, Anthony Rossi III. First assistant director, Georgiana W. Paz. Second assistant director, Jared Swazinski. Cast in order of appearance. Catherine Newton as Lisa. Liza Soberano as Taffy. Jenna Davis as Lori. Trina Lafargue as Trisha. Paola Endino as Misty. Joshua Montes as Vince. Chris Greening as Jock. May Anglim as Drunk Girl. Joey Bree Harris as Tamara. Henry Eikenberry as Michael Trent. Jennifer Pierce Mathis as Lisa's mom. Luke Sexton as Axe Murderer. Ayla Diane Miller as White Girl. Jalen Ray as Psychic Jenny. Bryce Romero as Doug. Cole Sprouse as The Creature. Carla Gugino as Janet. Joe Crest as Dale. Ashton Lee as Reporter Number One. Charlie Talbert as Wayne. Ray Gaspard as Mr. Garces. Geraldine Singer as Mrs. Garces. Shane Partlow as History Teacher. Jesse Reeks as The Creature Hand Double. Destiny Jones as Sosnowski. Johnny Balance as Tepper. Donna Duplanchier as Buckley. Sylvia Grace Krim as Officer Waters. Walker Babington as Officer John. Richie Montgomery as Old Man Harvey. Sarah S. Fisher as Lady Cop. Summer Selby as Neighbor Woman. Marcello Daniel Mario as Boy on Bike. Brad Miller as EMT. Julia Villanova as Goth Teen. Wendy Miklovic as Strange Figure. April Dupree as Reporter Number Two. Soundtrack on Backlot Music. Songs. The Promise, performed by When in Rome. Be My Valentine, Becker Remix, performed by Stephen Fletcher. Head Over Heels, performed by Blue Peter. I Can See Clearly Now, performed by Elise McQueen. Strange, performed by Galaxy 500. Returns and Exchanges, performed by Barry Schleifer. Invasion 4, performed by John Harrison. Bug Shoots Rhodes, performed by John Harrison. Stop Seducing My Heart, performed by Ellen Michaels. He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not, performed by Tanya Lee. Up the Down Escalator, performed by The Chameleons.
Lips Like Sugar, performed by Echo and the Bunnymen. Lacrimosa, from Requiem in D Minor, K-626, written by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Head On, performed by the Jesus and Mary Chain. Can't Fight This Feeling, performed by JoJo. Heaven Knows, performed by the Flatmates. On the Wings of Love, performed by Jeffrey Osborne. Wave of Mutilation, UK Surf, performed by Pixies. I'll Call You Mine, performed by the Zombies. Copyright 2023, Focus Features, LLC, all rights reserved. Focus Features, LLC is the author of this motion picture for the purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Focus Features. Read by Therese McLaughlin. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Focus Features, a Comcast company.